He's awesome. And he's great. Hallelujah. Our God is awesome. Our God is great. Can I get a witness in the house here? Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Good morning and welcome everyone. Thank you. Praise team. Awesome. Awesome praise. You know, I wanted to let it just go, you know. Let them just keep going, you know. Look, you know, sometimes we got to let the praise go. Amen. We don't need to always be looking at the time. It's 30 minutes, they're done singing, and then another 30 minutes. You know, sometimes just let it flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Especially when it is flowing like it was flowing. I just said, well, you know, I hope they can go some more. I didn't really tell them that they need to go more, but I'm like, well, let them just keep going. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is good. Amen. You know, so I welcome every one of you to the service this morning. While you're seated, I know you've been standing for a long time. Just raise your hands up. We're going to pray. You know, you can do that. You can pray while you're seated, while you're in the bathroom, while on your bed, wherever you are. You know, you can pray at all times. So just lift your hands and just wave your hands to the Lord this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord. And we love you this morning. Do you love him? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. And we declare this morning that the entrance of your word it brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. We declare that that's the case this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I don't think that you are here today by accident. I believe the Lord, he brought you here. You know, the steps of a righteous man are ordered from the Lord. You know, if you trust the Lord, he will always order your steps. Praise the Lord. And I believe he ordered your steps here this morning. I'm going to give... got a few things that we want to do today. You know, there will be a baby dedication at the end of, you know, my exhortation or message today. So I'm going to try to not go too long, you know. But our message today is titled, Mastering Your Faith Growth Process through patience. Well, that's a mouthful. So let me say it again. Mastering your faith growth process through patience. Well, there's a lot of key words in that title. One is mastering. Another one is, well, actually it's a phrase, faith growth process. In other words, there's something about the process in which your faith or through which your faith grows, you know. And then it says, how to master it through patience. Now, mastering means you become a master. I mean, you're not just, you know, one time Paul said, look, for the time that you ought to be teachers, you are still babies. And he was disappointed. Well, maybe Paul or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews. You know, that he was disappointed. He said, look, I don't need you to be babies all the time. You need to grow up. And then Paul himself, one time, we know he wrote this one. He said, look, when I was a child, I did childish things. You know, but after a while, you know, I put away childish things. I grew up. Praise the Lord. Now, a child will do childish things. You know, but a child even also must grow up. They got to master certain things. You know, first they will probably learn, you know, to, after a few months, they can sit down, you know, then maybe they can crawl, you know, then maybe they can take a few steps, and then maybe they can really walk, and be balanced without falling down. And you know, they actually enjoy it once they get to the stage where they can actually walk and not fall down. You can see that they be going around majestically all over the place as if they own the place. You know, they just walk around, they enjoy it, because now they found some new thing that they seem to be mastering, this process of actually walking, you know, and they're enjoying it. Well, enough time passes, they might actually be able to run and do a few things, you know. So one of the scriptures that we want to consider today that leads to this is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. For it says in the scripture that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Now, if we want to please the Lord, and we know that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord, you know, then, you know, we need to figure out how to develop our faith. Because faith will please the Lord. When we are walking in faith, among other things, it will please the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. So we got to develop our faith. Now, not only do you develop your faith, though, you know, we want you to become masters of faith. You know, it's not just, look, you know, one of the things that the Lord has taught me from my youth and up is this faith. And I've always tried to impart this teaching to people. You know, not just that you are a student forever of faith, you become a master of the faith. You know, you can do it. You know, you become a professional in the faith. You know, those of us who are professionals on our job, you know, after a while, you know, maybe you've done some training, you've done some education, you've done whatever, you know, you have a lot of experience, you actually can become what they call a subject matter expert. You know, I know there are many of us here who are subject matter experts in many things. Some of you were, maybe you are now retired, you know, or whatever. But by the grace of God, I know a few things about that. I know how to be a subject matter expert in certain things that relate to information technology, because that's been my field for many years. And when I'm in my element, nobody's telling me anything. I can hold my own. You know, after many years, my goodness, I can hold my own. There was even a time for years that I was a consultant, you know, and I could hold my own. To this day, I can still hold my own, you know. So, and Paul talking about us being professionals in our faith, you know, and the scriptures, look, we don't need to be babies all the time. So I'm going to share with you today a tool for mastering the growth of your faith. It's called patience. That's what I want to talk about today, you know. But you need to come to the point where you are a subject matter expert in faith. Because faith is one thing that can really please the Lord. And if you know how to do it, you can really please the Lord. And if you don't know how to do it, you cannot please the Lord. Now, if you can't please the Lord, well, I don't know. You know, that's a bad place to be. So, you know, we need to develop our faith. But I want to share on how to develop that faith through process. Patience. It's not something you've never heard before, but maybe you've never considered this connection, you know, why it is this way. So that's all I want to share with you today. Now, if I ask everybody to define faith today, I'm sure many people would quote Hebrews 11 and 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that will be correct. It will be accurate because it's in the scriptures, you know. What you might not know, though, is there are scriptures that connect faith and patience together. So that's the connection I want to make today. But I want to talk also about a process. There is a process to everything that God does. There's a process to it. I mean, you would think that God can, and most of the time, you know, he can do something immediately. And we see a lot of scriptures where immediately a miracle happened, and immediately this and that and so on. But, you know, sometimes there's a process. And God defines this process, and he determines it, and he designed it for a reason like that. Even the growth, our spiritual growth, in the book of John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, you know, those that receive Christ, you know, as many as receive him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. Now that word become there suggests that there is a process to it. You know, there's a process to becoming a son. The process is actually described in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 concerning Christ himself. Isaiah 9, 6 describes this process. He said, for unto us a child is born. He's a baby when he's born, you know. And then later, he becomes a son. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is presented or given. Presented. You present a gift. Now, from the time of his being born until his time of his presentation, it actually took 30 years. 30 years, Jesus was in the process of becoming the Son of God. He was already the Son of God, even from the beginning, even before the world began. But he never came down from heaven with blazing guns and everything like that. He came like a baby. And since he was a baby, he had to go through the process of becoming a son. And for him, and in the Jewish custom, to be a rabbi, you have to be 30 years. It took him 30 years. 30 years. We don't know what he was doing in those 30 years. We only heard of him one time when he was 12 years old. They went somewhere, and at the end, the parents left thinking that he was in the company because there was a lot of them. And he wasn't. And then a few days later, I said, you know, where's Yeshua? I can't find him. You know, I said, oh. And then they started to trace their steps back. Well, when they found him, 3 days later, they found him in the temple sitting with the doctors and the philosophers and so forth, and asking them tough questions and answering their questions with questions too. You know, and they said, my goodness. And Mary started to say something. Jesus said, hey, look, I got to be about my father's business. And then nobody understood what he meant. But she put these things in her heart. But then afterwards, we didn't hear anymore for many years. And then all of a sudden, we are told that Jesus began to be about 30 years of age in Luke chapter 3. Now, Jesus' genealogy is introduced backwards. You know, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. He wasn't the son of Joseph, but as was supposed. And then they walked the way of the genealogy backwards onto verse 38 of Luke chapter 3. Every one of those things says, and Jesus was the son of this, and that was the son of that, and that one was the son of that, and that was the son of that. And he walked the way backwards. And finally, we got to Adam, who was the son of God. So we see that that whole scripture is talking about sonship. Because that's all they were describing there. This was the son of that, this was the son of that, this was the son of that, and that was the son of that. It's all talking about sonship. But they started out by saying, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of this, the son of that, and so on. So his sonship described in a period of 30 years. It took him 30 years to get to that point. Well, it has taken many of us many years to get to anywhere that we are. You know, but there is something that we still seem to be lacking. Without faith, you could not have been saved. You know, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, takes faith. By faith, you are saved, you know, by grace. But it's through faith. You know, it is not of yourselves. It is by the gift of God, lest any man should boast. In fact, this scripture, verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2, was one of the first scriptures I learned when I gave my life to Christ many, many years ago. I learned this. But I find out that, look, if it took me faith to be saved, Why is it that after many years of being saved, I mean, my faith is still as it was years ago? I mean, many people don't develop their faith. They're still struggling. In fact, sometimes it seems as if some new believers have more faith than believers who have been in the Lord for a long time. I don't know what it is. Why is it that people cannot develop their faith? You know, I mean, those of you that go to school, I mean, you don't go to school and be in the same class forever. I mean, if you're in the same class forever, that's a problem. You've got to move from grade to grade, higher and higher. The same thing from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We got to move. But people don't seem to understand that. You know, you just, you know, after many years of being the Lord, then something happens. Then you're struggling with your faith. You're just struggling with the thing. You know, so God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to grow in faith. So one of the process, I mean, one of the tools by which we grow through this process is patience. And that's the one I want to talk to us about today. And I will give us some scriptures quickly. Mark chapter 4, I want to talk about in verse 26. Oh, about three verses there, Jesus explained something. He said, the kingdom of God, I want to talk about this process. I've talked about this before, and I want to talk about it again today. The kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. I mean, you take seed. I learned this when I was a little boy, maybe 5 years, 6 years old, was when I started planting. You know, experiment with corn, plant it, wait for it to grow, and so on. You know, now, Jesus said, well, the kingdom of God is as simple as that. However, he described a process. He said, and he was stating something that Genesis told us, where God put the power of reproduction inside the seed. God said that in Genesis. He said, let every tree bring forth seed and the power to bear fruit within itself and all these things. And so Jesus said, look, when a man plants seed in the ground, you know, he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up. He doesn't know how. But the seed, because God put the power inside the seed to do this thing, you know, and then the seed will grow up. But the next thing that this man sees above the ground, first he'll see what's called the blade, and it looks like grass at first. You know, now, if you are not patient with the grass, we had this thing when I was growing up, we called it Bahama grass. You know, I grew up in a place called Nigeria. And we had this thing called Bahama grass. And when this corn was growing and come up initially, it looked just like Bahama grass. They looked the same. You know, there was no difference at all. You know, now, if you were not patient, and you say, well, that looks like weed. You cut off everything. Well, you might cut off the real corn that was growing because it looks just like this Bahama grass. You know, and when Jesus said, look, when it's growing, first the blade looks like Bahama grass at first. Then the air begins to form. You know, the air begins to form. You know, and then after that, the full corn. And at the end, you find that you might have planted just a handful of grain, but then you get a tremendous number of grain, which you can't even count. On one cob alone, there may be 10 times the number of what you planted, or maybe 20 times. And then you might get multiple cobs like that. You know. So Jesus explaining this process. The kingdom of God has a process to it. The process goes through something that looks little at first, and then it may not even be discernible. One time they said, yeah, it looks like, you know, we thought you planted good seed in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the tare and the weeds. Didn't you plant good seed? Why do we now see tare? And I said, let us pull it up. I said, be careful now. They look too much alike. You want to pull it out? You might pull out some stuff. That is real. Just wait. Be patient. Let them grow. And then they will show their true colors. And then you can tell. Wait and let them grow. you know, let them both grow together until harvest time. Then you can tell clearly. Now, this process, we've seen it that even in spiritual things, becoming a son of God, you start out as a child. You're a child, you're a child. That child that is born into a palace where his father is a king, into the kingdom, he doesn't know that he's a prince because he's just a baby. He knows nothing. You know, and even though he's the heir of all, Paul explains that in Galatians chapter 4. I can read the whole chapter. I'm not going to read it. He explains it that, look, even though this little baby that's born into the kingdom, and he's the heir because he's the prince is the anointed one, the next coming ruler. And so, but he doesn't know it because he's just a baby. And somebody has to teach him. You know, the father has to teach him some things. You know, maybe he will hire some instructors. We're told about instructors in the Bible. You know, instructors and all these things. The Old Testament, law, and all of these things. And some of our instructors, well, I guarantee you, God has other instructors besides the Old Testament and all these things. There are some instructors that God put in place. They are called the trials of your faith. They are instructors. I want to talk about that today. And how we connect the pieces, connect it to patience, connect it to seeing that the Father is the one that's actually allowing some things so that, you know, may learn some things. So in this kingdom, where this little prince is born as a baby, he doesn't know anything. When he starts to grow up a little bit, still doesn't know anything. So the father hires some instructors, you know, and he has to go through a regiment all day long. You know, some of the instructors will teach him, you know, how to, you know, do some fencing and some other things. Later they'll be teaching him how to do martial arts and so on and so forth. They'll be teaching him how to develop his muscles and everything. Because, you know, this his kingdom that he's born into, it's a fighting kingdom. In that kingdom, the king always fights and so forth. So they're teaching the prince, but he doesn't know what. And so, you know, we're going through all of these things. And that young man has to learn some patience. You know, sometimes he doesn't want to do it. They're going to drag him out of bed. And and his, the father, the king, has given these instructors authority over the prince. And normally they can't do that. But now the father has given him them authority over the prince. Say, look, get him out of bed. Drag him out of there. Take him to his lessons. Whether he wants to do it or not, make him do it. And so he's growing up. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe now he's 15, 16, 17. And he's actually as strong. He can take those guys down now on the mat. You know, and so on. And then one day, all of a sudden, one day, I mean, it's been many years he's been doing it. So one day, he's going to figure out that he's the prince. You know, and I guarantee you, that day he figures out that he is the prince, he's going to put all those instructors in their place. I'm telling you, when they try to come and get him to do anything, no, I am the prince. You work for me. Glory to God. Are you still following my story? Do you catch what I'm throwing down? Look, the day he figures it out that he's the prince, he is no longer going to consider that all of that stuff was, you know, just punishment or all of this. He's going to realize that it was for his training. Then he'll go to the father and say, and the man say, oh, why? I think you're supposed to be in one of your training sessions. I know. I am the prince. Those people don't boss me around anymore. And the father chuckles and say, yeah, that's my boy. Now you're ready. Praise God. The Lord, God of heaven, pretty much said the same thing for Jesus. One day, when he was about to be presented, after 30 years of growing up and whatever he was doing that we don't know about, he come out to be baptized of John the Baptist, come out of that water, the father stands up, beats his chest and say, that's my boy. Hallelujah. That is my beloved son. You know, now he's going to present him to the world. You know, I know God has given me the grace to be a father. And I had a couple of sons growing up. You know, And it turned out that when these, one of these, my sons or the other, you know, maybe at first, they're a little rascally and doing all kinds of things. But all of a sudden, one day they're growing up. They're talking like me. They're acting like me. They're making decisions like me. They're doing things like me. Now I'm going to sit back and say, that's my boy. Hallelujah. And the Lord also the same thing. Not only is the Lord waiting, even the creations are waiting. We're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, everybody, the world is waiting, creation is waiting, God himself is waiting, just like he waited for Jesus, he's waiting for you. The earnest expectation of the creation is waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God, just like the Christ. But, so that's really where we're going. But God is using natural things to try to get us there. Just like Jesus had to go home and be subject to Joseph and Mary for a lot of years. He had to learn how to do carpentry and all of these things, you know. And maybe in the house, maybe he did a few miracles or a few things. We don't know. We're not told. Just use your imagination, because we're not told. But his mother must have seen some things, because one day they asked her, well, you know, we ran out of wine. The governor said they ran out of wine. They were invited to this marriage in Cana. And they're coming to the mother. The mother said, look. So he goes to Jesus and say, this and this. And Jesus said, my time is not yet. But she had seen some things enough around the house or whatever. And so she tells them, come, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever he tells you, you do it. Praise the Lord. Because there's a possibility that in the house, he might have told his mother, do this, do this, do this, and out comes this incredible thing. Who knows? But, you know, she said, look, whatever he tells you, do. But what I'm trying to bring out is there was a lot of training, a lot of process, and whatever he had to go through until his presentation. Now, some of the elements that God is using in the training of your faith, one of them is called patience. And I want to give you some of these scriptures today that will talk about, you know, how God connects the dots for us. You know, one of my favorite scriptures that I like in the process of, you know, something that may not look at anything at first, but how it eventually may get to something, is found in Job chapter 8, verse 7. You know, and I preached many lessons out of that verse. It says, though thy beginnings were small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Now, but there is something in between. You know, there's something in between. The problem is that the in between the time the small beginnings start and the time of the greater increase at the end, there is a big gap in between sometimes. And this is the process that we must master. If you don't master it, you're going to keep repeating the same lessons. You know, the reason why we go through stuff and go through it again and go through it again, because you didn't learn. It's like you took the class, you didn't pass. So you got to take the class again. But pass the class and then move on. Hallelujah. You know, we need some people to pass the class. The basic principles of the oracles of God. You need to understand it. As a matter of fact, I will be handing out a book called The Principles of the Oracles of God today after service. I'll be giving it to you free. Now, some of you already have it. But if you don't have it yet, I'll give out some today. Praise the Lord. But you have to master these things. Now, when you're going through the process, though, when the Lord told you, your name is Joseph, he shows you this dream, he shows you the end game, really. You're going to be great. Your brothers, everybody will bow down to you. But the Lord gave back some minor details. Details, you know, how do you get from where you are to that greatness where your brothers will bow down to you? Jesus, God kept that one back. He didn't tell him. The Lord didn't tell him that, look, between here and there, you're going to go through a lot of stuff that will make you want to almost give up. It will make you almost doubt what God told you. You know, the devil say, well, we'll see what will become of your dreams now. His brothers told him that. The devil told him that. You know, all the moments that he was in the pit, being carried into slavery, all those bad things happened to him, in prison and everything, the devil will be whispering to him, you're going to be master over your brothers, huh? We'll see about that. You're going to rot away in this prison. See, but there was a process. And he had to learn patience through the things which he suffered. And God was training him, preparing him to be a ruler through all the things that he suffered. He had some different small leadership roles. Leadership role in the house of Potiphar. You know, he got framed for a crime he didn't commit. They threw him into prison. Leadership role. Favor of God was with him the whole time. Leadership role in prison. All kinds of things preparing him, you know. But there was a process that he had to go through. Now, this process is kind of like a farmer that plants a seed. You cannot plant the seed in one day and get the harvest the same day. You have to have patience. In the book of James, chapter 5, he said, have ye therefore, my brethren, patience until the coming of the Lord. Just like the farmer, which is called the husbandman, when he plants his seed, he must have patience for both the early rain and the latter rain, the planting and the harvesting rain. He's got to have patience. Now, but sometimes we don't understand the process. We think that the greatness at the end should come at the beginning. But it may probably doesn't come like that. But God wants you to connect the dots through patience. Here are some scriptures that talk about that. You know, David talked about it in Psalm 40, the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. You know, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. He was in a horrible pit, but he had to wait for the Lord's salvation. He went through a lot of things. And at the end, he said, look, he brought me out of miry clay, that's like quicksand, set my feet upon the rock, established my goings, and then put a beautiful thing in my mouth, a song of praise unto the Lord. Many shall see it and fear, and they will praise the Lord. Now, he went through this, and there was a lot of things that he went through. He was anointed as king at a very early age. But from that anointing, from the time that Saul anointed him as king, and bear in mind that that was even a ceremony that he was not invited to initially, yet it was going to be his coronation service. But finally, he got anointed for the king. But many years passed before he could get to that throne. In fact, it seemed like if the anointing to be king put a target on his back. Hello? The fact that he was anointed to be king, and Saul knew it, but Saul wanted Jonathan to be king. So he's going to do everything to kill this young man who was anointed king. He knew it. You know, put a target. That anointing to be king put a target on his back. Think about that. Some of you are anointed for greatness. Hallelujah. But that puts a target on your back. You know, and because you're anointed for greatness, just like Jesus was anointed for greatness, Moses was anointed for greatness, there was a target on their back when they were born. Kill all the babies. Kill them all. That's why everything, you know, the moment you are a target, I mean, you are anointed for greatness, it puts a target, paints a target on your back. You know, but target or not, you must, through patience, endure in order to inherit the promise. And David endured. He had opportunity to take the law into his hands. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. That man is the Lord's anointed. How many of you will actually do that? God finally put your enemy in your hand. Now, you have the opportunity to take no prisoners. Finish them off. But David said, I will never do any such thing. Because this man was anointed to be king. And he honored that anointing. Despite the fact that the man was trying to kill him, he honored the anointing. He said, look, the anointing of God is upon this man, therefore I will not raise my hand against him. He will come to his own time. God will deal with him. But I will never raise my hand. Hallelujah. And he went through many things, but finally he became king. And not only did he become king, he became the most favored king. Not that he didn't have his own problems, he did. But God favored him and chose his throne. Till this day, till today, the throne of David was chosen, that the one that Christ will set upon. How many of you know that? Till today, you know, it's in the Bible. And Christ will sit on the throne of David. You know, how did David inherit that? You know, throne of glory. I mean, he went through a lot. And it seemed like a perishable throne at first. But it was actually a throne of glory that he was going to inherit because Christ was going to sit on that throne. Hallelujah. Now, he went through a lot. Many other people went through a lot. But the patience, here's how we connect the dots. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 24 to 25. Here's how we connect the dots. When you are believing God for something, in this particular place, he calls it hope. Well, he said, hope that is seen is not hope. Because if you see it, well, are you hoping for it? you know, maybe yesterday I was hoping to come to church today to be in the service. But today I'm here. I don't have to hope to be in the service. I'm already here in the service. So why am I hoping for it? I am here already. Praise the Lord. So, but look, there is a process between sometimes what you are hoping for. There's something that all of us are hoping for. Don't dismiss hope as if it is nothing. I've heard some people say hope is nothing. There is something that's called the blessed hope. Hallelujah. The appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessed hope. It's the thing that we're all waiting for. Now, but, you know, this hope of glory that we have, well, we got to wait for it with patience. Read verse 25 here. What you are hoping for or believing for, give me verse 25. Romans 8, 25. You have to, with patience, wait for it. Patience, you know. Now, faith is working, but you got to, with patience, wait for it. And why doesn't God just do it already? I mean, why do we even have to wait for the coming of the Lord? From the day that we are saved, why are we still here? You know, well, we're still here because Jesus prayed about it in John chapter 17. He said, Father, I pray that you take them not from the world. So that settles it. God doesn't want you, the day you are saved, to go to heaven. Settle it. But keep them from the evil one. And he told them, he said, in your patience possess ye your souls. It's going to be a lot of things that you are going to go through. Let me read some of the examples of some people that went through many things in order to inherit the promises of God that God gave them. Here are a few. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read verses 11 and 12 and then verse 15. Now, he said, look, we desire that you all show due diligence to the end. This diligence is a form of faith. The assurance of hope, show this diligence. It's also a form of patience. And we don't want you to be slothful, but we want you to be followers of them who through faith and patience. Now, we've defined faith at the beginning of this service, but we haven't quite defined patience, but I'm just telling you stories around it. But I will define in a minute. People who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, when God gives you promise, it may not happen immediately. But in verse 15, we say that after that Abraham had patiently endured, it took him 25 years. He finally obtained the promise. May it not take you 25 years in Jesus' name. But if it does, well, what are you going to do? I believe that it probably wouldn't have taken Abraham that long if he had figured out how to get what God was promising him beyond what he thought he needed. Because God comes to Abraham and said, I am your exceeding great reward, your shield, an exceeding great reward. Genesis 15. And then in verse 1. And which means God said, I'm going to give you myself. Not just give you a reward, but I myself am your exceeding great reward. But Abraham thought he needed something else. So, well, but you know, I don't have a child. Didn't God know you didn't have a child? When God is giving you something, stay with the program. You know, many of us get hurt when we start to look at what we think we need better than what God is giving. You know, and if he had focused on what God was giving him, maybe it would have taken him, a year or two, but, or whatever. He did not. The good thing is, thank God, he's hung in there, and God allowed his story to be there to help us. But, he hung in there, and afterwards, he obtained the promise. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. Again, this one says, look, don't cast away your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. Confidence is, look, at the end of it all, it's going to come out like God wants. For ye have need of patience. Now, here's a good time to define this patience, because we've been talking about it. It's an attribute that allows you to hang in there. Sometimes people call it long suffering, but I want to define it to you this way, that even when you don't see it, which in a way it's faith. Faith is the thing that you don't see, but yet somehow you see it. You haven't seen it, but somehow you believe for it. And patience is also the same way. When God has promised something and you are not getting it and it looks like things are actually going in the opposite direction, you got to hang in there. You got to wait for it. Though it tarry, you have to wait for it. Yet, he said, look, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, so you see how patience comes in, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, the promise will come and it will not tarry. And even though it tarry, wait for it. You can see he's talking about faith, because he's bringing in faith and patience. And I say, the just shall live by faith. He's talking about faith, this whole thing of patience. He's still talking about faith. But if any man draws back, so patience or lack thereof actually is what makes people to draw back. When you're waiting and waiting, scripture says in the book of Proverbs, he said, long hope wearies the heart. People are waiting, then they give up. Because, look, I've been waiting for too long. Then they just give up. Well, if you give up because the thing is delayed, it shows you have not mastered the process. Because God allows that process to help grow your faith. And you must master that process. You cannot, must not give up just because something is delayed. Can you say praise the Lord? We got to wait through the process. Let me read a few more scriptures here quickly that, I just want to point out to connect the dots, In the book of James, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we connect the dots again. It says, we know that the trying of your faith works patience. This is the real key. This is the process of growing in your faith through trials. But what he's trying to bring out is patience. You got to patiently wait for the thing. You know, even women, you know, when they get pregnant, you cannot get pregnant in one day and bring forth the baby next day. It doesn't happen. There's no such thing. You cannot have that kind of faith. You know, you say, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to be pregnant in one day. Then I'm going to conceive. And then I'm going to bring forth the baby. Not even Mary could do it. She had to go through that 9 months. And she was the one that was, you know, handpicked to be the mother of the Savior. And yet she had to go through it. Everybody had to go through it. And so, you're going to go through it. And you're praying for a baby. Then you get pregnant. But now, all of a sudden, you have all kinds of problems. You can't sleep. Your back hurts. No position is comfortable. Your head, your leg is swollen. Oh, all kinds of things. But it was something you prayed for. And you have it. And all of a sudden, all these other things, you know, it's like, you know, all these other things come with it. But you must patiently wait for that baby. Amen. That baby is coming. But it's got to take. See, if you are too impatient, you may have a premature birth, and that's not good. Wait for the baby to come to full term. Hallelujah. And when that baby comes to full term, it's a blessing from the Lord. The Bible says the woman will no longer remember the sorrow. She will be joyful because a son is brought into the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, I want to tell you this, you know, and I'm going to leave it here. Because I don't want the service to be too long. There's other things I could have told you. But I think you're catching my drift. You know, who has despised the day of small things? Most of the time we despise the day of small things. When something starts small, you want it big all at once. Then you despise the smallness. Well, if you despise the smallness, you will miss the greatness. That's the way it works. Because first, the beginning may be small, according to Job, but later the end will be greatly increased. But you can't have the greater increase at the end if first you despise the little. You see? So, if you want to go to school, you can't start with, you know, graduating with honors, you know, until you go through the pain of all those classes and everything. You got to go through the pain. You go through it, you got to go to class, you got to do your homework, you got to do your assignments. Sometimes you do well, sometimes you don't do well, but you got to keep going, you know. If you give up, you fall out, you draw back, you become a dropout, and then you will never get that prize at the end. You see, so patience, and God is using it to help us grow our faith. Now, the lesson I want us to get out of this is this. We need to master this process. The next time you see that things, you may be in one right now, be delayed. And a challenge is coming with what you thought was a blessing. God is trying to help you learn some patience. And with patience, you can master that process. Once you master the process, the next time you see, you recognize, you just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You just praise the Lord and you don't worry and don't fret. You praise the Lord for it because now you understand it. Just like on the job, you are now an SME. That's what we call a subject matter expert. And then when you see the problem, you know exactly. I told somebody, I said, knowing where to put the X, you know, that's what makes you the expert. You know, the problem is on the board and so on and so forth. And everybody's wondering about it and you step up. I learned this one as a consultant, you know, and I said, well, and you look at the problem, and you just X marks the spot. You mark the spot for the solution, and you charge them $10,000. You say, $10,000? It took you just a minute. No, it didn't take me a minute. It took me a long time to develop to be a subject matter expert. You know, I'm charging you for the knowledge to know where to put that X. It's not just the X, but I've learned to know where to put the X. I charge you $10,000 for it. I smile all the way to the bank. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's how you do it in consulting, you know. But it takes time to get to that level. The same thing God wants us to develop with our faith. Get to the point where you don't need to run to Jesus all the time. You know, he seems to be sleeping in the back of the boat. Everything is turning upside down. You run to Jesus. You don't need to run to Jesus, you know, for every little thing. When Jesus was expecting to take care of business. That's why Jesus was, you know, disappointed when they woke him up. And he said, how is it that you have no faith? How come you're so afraid and so fearful? How come you don't have any faith? Jesus expected them to use their faith to ride out the storm. Hallelujah. It's not every storm that you have to pray for the storm to be removed. Some storms, you just ride it out. Hallelujah. Jesus had no intention of rebuking that storm. He was just going to sleep. Let the storm do its thing. Jesus already said, we are going to the other side. Hallelujah. That word will carry you there. He already spoke it. You catch that word and you know you are getting to the other side. Don't worry about the storm that's coming on the way. That storm will come. But you are going to the other side. Because that's what Jesus said. And as soon as Jesus said it, he went and slept. Took a nap. Sleeping like a baby. Because he already spoke the word. And that word will see you through. It's not the mastery of the shipmaster. It's not the lack of storm. It's the word that he spoke. That word will get you to the other side. Sometimes we waste a lot of spiritual and prayer capital. Praying over a lot of things that you just use your faith. Hallelujah. Jesus expected to just use their faith. Master, master, don't you care that we perish? That's just like many of us today. Everything that is happening to us, we run to the Lord, we cry up and down and so forth. Well, grow up, saith the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 will be my last verse here today on how you must grow up. Grow up. Don't have anxiety when you are faced with situations. That's what this scripture says. You know, it said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. But I want to talk about verse 7. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You still pray, you still supplicate, you know, but with thanksgiving, you make your request known unto God. That's how Jesus always prayed. He starts out by saying, Father, I thank you because you heard me already. Hallelujah. You start out by saying, Father, I thank you because you heard me already. Now, you know, I know this thing is doing its thing, whatever it is, yeah, but I know I'm going to the other side. Amen. But the secret is in verse 7. This verse 7 does not say that God will answer your prayers. We know he said that in other verses. You know, what things soever you desire when you pray, you receive. Matthew 21, 22, and so on. But he didn't say that in this case. In this case, he wants you to be a master. This is the posture of the master. The master who has mastered the process is no longer anxious. He knows, and the peace of God will keep his heart and mind, even through the storm. He's not running helter-skelter to Jesus. The peace of God will keep your heart because you have mastered the process. You know the storm is there doing its thing. If the storm is there doing its thing, then let it do its thing. It will pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you now understand these things? Jesus spoke to them and said, do you now understand? Let's stand to our feet and I'm going to pray with you. The storm will pass. But while you are in the storm, you need to recognize that there is a process. The storm is part of the process. You know, how God wants you to develop your faith, but you must, with patience, pass through the storm. If you jump ship, Paul said to them, this storm, no life will be lost, but you must stay in the ship. If you jump ship, just because the storm is bad, this cannot be saved, except they stay in the ship. May the Lord grant you understanding in these things in Jesus' name. The entrance of his word brings light and grants understanding to the simple. That's how we started today. And I pray that the Lord gave you the light and the understanding, that you will develop your faith and you will master the process of all the challenges and so forth by patiently waiting on the Lord, even through the storms. Lift your hands and let's pray. Hallelujah. I want everybody to confess your lack of faith. Running to the Lord when you could have taken care of the situation. Now, that doesn't mean don't run to the Lord. It just means panic is what Jesus was about. You can always run to the Lord, but not with panic. You can run to the Lord, and we should always run to the Lord, but never in panic. Let our hearts be settled. Let your heart be settled. Let your heart be settled. Hallelujah. Don't panic. The Lord is in the boat. When Jesus is in the boat, that boat ain't sinking. That boat cannot sink. The Lord is in the boat. He may be in the back sleeping, but he is in the boat. And he is sleeping only because he knows you can handle. Hallelujah. When he realized they couldn't handle, then he stood up and rebuked the storm. But if you can handle, and the Lord knows you can handle, otherwise he won't put you through it. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there is no storm or trial or any other such thing that God will allow to overwhelm you, but he will give you that which your strength is able to take. Hallelujah. Now bless your name of the Lord today. Bless the name of the Lord your God. Let's bless the name of the Lord our God together. May the Lord grant you understanding of how to master the process of growing your faith through patience. Wait for the Lord. Don't go ahead of the Lord. Just wait for him. However long it takes, you wait for the Lord. Hallelujah. But let me prophesy this over you in this prayer today. This will be my closing prayer for today, for this lesson. I will prophesy this word unto you today. And you can find these words, you know, I call them prophesying, because when you declare the word of God, that's prophesying. So I'm going to prophesy this word to you, and you can find it. Despite the fact that we've taught you to wait and be patient and so forth, and you must wait and be patient. But nevertheless, let me prophesy this unto you. According to the words that the Holy Ghost spake through the mouth of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28. The Lord says, yes, indeed, you have tarried and you have waited, but my words will no longer be prolonged. The thing which I have spoken, I will not perform it, said the Lord. I will perform that which I have spoken. Hallelujah. That's what he says here. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. I have spoken, saith the Lord. And some of you have doubted the word. But my word that I have spoken shall come to pass. There shall be a performance thereof, and it shall no more be prolonged. For I have, don't be called a rebellious house. The Lord called them rebellious. I have spoken it, and I will also perform it. In your days have I spoken it, and even in your days will I perform it, saith the Lord. And verse 28 says, therefore say unto them this morning, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken unto you shall be done, saith the Lord. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will hasten it. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.